This is John from the Free Gift from God podcast. I'm continuing this segment in the Salvation Road podcast that I've been doing now for a little while, and this second segment, which is about walking to Jesus. And today I'm going to be looking at the next thing that follows on after grace, which was the last session, and I'm looking at repentance. The objectives of this is to understand what repentance is, to see why we need repentance, and to know how repentance fits into the overall process of the Christian walk. So in overview, repentance is the next logical step after we begin to seek the Lord and see how the grace of God provides us an opportunity for salvation. Repentance sets the stage for the Lord to assist us because it is through repentance we begin to change. In fact, the Greek word metanoia, which is translated as repentance in the English Bibles, literally means to change your mind, or better yet, to change the way you think. This is the focus of repentance, to turn away from the ways of evil and the thinking that leads to destruction, and to change our minds to focus on what is good, right and true, that is, the ways of God. So the first scripture I want to look at is in Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. Do you suppose, O man, that when you judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume upon the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not know that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But by your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Here we see the follow-up to the last lesson on grace identified. God's grace, which is his undeserved kindness and favour towards his people, is meant to lead us to repentance. He wants us to turn around our lives. He wants us to forget what lies in our past. He wants us to start again and seek him. He wants man to change his ways and desire to do what is right. Repentance is the beginning, and by repentance we receive the forgiveness and mercy of God. When we repent, we start the journey where God will aid us to become new creations, not just by faith, but by the way we live. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, with instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." Repentance is identified as one of the six foundation teachings of Christianity, which we see in this scripture. Now, I've already spent a bit of time going through the foundations before I started this Salvation Road session. So you can go back there and you'll see that I've actually done a session on repentance. It's different to what this one is, but it is one of the six foundation teachings of Christianity. Repentance is fundamental to the Christian walk, and we cannot walk the path of Christianity unless we repent. In repenting, we become humble. We recognise our errors, and we further recognise the greater power of God who forgives us when we turn to him seeking forgiveness. In repenting, we subject ourselves to the will of God, asking his help to overcome and to forgive. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." It's not God's will or his desire that anyone should perish. He hopes for the salvation of all mankind. But we know also that not all mankind will respond to the call of Jesus Christ or come to God. God will not force anyone to do anything. He gives us the free will to choose whether to walk in sin or walk in repentance and return to him. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 to 31 is the next scripture. "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead." Of course, he's talking about Jesus Christ here. Prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, there was little opportunity for people to find God. The word of God resided with Israel, but the rest of the world, the Gentiles, had little or no hope. But since Christ appeared and opened the way for all mankind to come to God through Jesus Christ, there is no longer any excuse. The word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ can be found anywhere and everywhere. There is no excuse for a lack of repentance or to say, "I didn't know." When the final judgment comes, no one will be able to plead ignorance of his way, for all have seen it. If they chose not to repent, then their blood is on their own head and judgment will be swift. In Luke chapter 5, verses 30 to 32, we see this. And the Pharisees and their scribes murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Here we see the reason for Jesus coming to the earth, and it was basically to call all mankind to repentance. The scribes and Pharisees, who thought they were pretty righteous in their day, couldn't understand why Jesus spent time with people who were obvious sinners. But Jesus shows his compassion, his mercy, and his love when he says it was exactly these kinds of people he came to save. Just as a physician goes to heal the sick, Jesus came to heal those who were in the bondage of sin. He came to bring people to God and to himself who were under the chains of sin and to proclaim freedom so that they could be released. It's the sinners who are most in need of a saviour. And that is what Jesus showed the scribes and Pharisees. He came to call all mankind, especially those bound under sin, to repentance so that they could have the hope of salvation and a better life. Over in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, we see these words. "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old." Now, as mentioned above and in the previous scripture, repentance is a changing of the way we think. And more than that, it's an appeal to God for forgiveness and to remove our sins. And here we see Peter counselling the people of Jerusalem to turn and repent so that Jesus may come and establish them in the ways of God. And in Jesus, our sins are truly blotted out, not just forgiven, but forgiven, forgotten, and removed from us, leaving us clean and righteous by faith before God. Truly, when this is achieved, there will be times of refreshing for the repentant person. Their hearts will be lifted and no longer condemning themselves, and their paths will be set to follow Christ. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14-15, we see these words. "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" In this we see Jesus speaking of repentance. We also see him link it with faith, for he says that when the kingdom of God is at hand, which it is right now, then we must approach it with faith by believing what God has done and in repentance. We seek the path Jesus sets before all Christians, and we start that walk when we first believe and then repent. When we repent, it is when we recognise God as the almighty power in heaven and earth, and we recognise Jesus Christ as the Saviour sent by God to redeem us from bondage to sin. We repent in humility, and God lifts us up in compassion, mercy, and love. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, we see these words. "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" It's interesting to note here that the time was right 2,000 years ago for people to repent because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. If so then, how much more so now? Repentance is so important, so fundamental to coming to God that John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and the 12 apostles began all of their ministries saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now is the time to repent because the kingdom of heaven is still at hand here and now, patiently awaiting the time when all of God's people will enter into it. We do not have to wait for the second coming. The kingdom is here now, and we enter it in the Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance is the first step, and one every person who comes to Christ must take. Have a look over in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 1 to 10. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So note here that when John the Baptist began his ministry, he started by telling the people to repent of their sins and turn to God, just as Jesus did and the apostles also did. This was prophesied hundreds of years earlier that John would arise and his mission would be to prepare the way of Christ. John prepared the people so that when Christ came, they were already aware of the need to repent. People today are also prepared for the kingdom through repentance as a first step. When we repent, we become humble and seek the ways of God, and we aim to change how we think and act. But it's not enough just to say the words. It's not enough just to feel sorry. We need to then live up to the changes we have made. We need to live a repentant life, and as John eloquently puts it, we need to bear fruit that befits repentance. Our actions, deeds, and words need to reflect the change of mind and the change of heart and attitude that says we are seeking the ways of God. This was the work of preparation John performed for the Lord before his appearance, and it needs to be done still today in the hearts of all who come to God. The final scripture I want to look at is in Luke 13, and I'm reading verses 1 to 5. "There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" So finally, what we see in repenting, there is a degree of protection that is not afforded to those who do not repent. The people who died in the sacrifices at the hands of Pilate, and those who died when the tower fell on them in this scripture, were no better or no worse than anyone else. They just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But those who repent and come to God, and who follow the faith in Jesus, to which we are called, receive the protection of the Father. Consider Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fire, and others who were rescued from harm's way. Look at Paul, who was bitten by a deadly asp and who had been shipwrecked several times, and how the Lord rescued him from those situations. Repentance has great value, for it is the step that says, "I accept God's authority in my life and choose to follow his ways." And when we do, he protects us from all evil. So here's a couple of questions to consider. Can you see the importance of repentance and how it reflects our humility and recognition of God's authority? Secondly, what things in your life can you recall where the Lord protected you from something that would have harmed you in some way? Understand that this is one of the blessings of repentance. Call to action. Repentance does not stop when we first come to Christ. It's an ongoing thing, so you need to keep a repentant heart and attitude at all times. And secondly, when you do things that are not in accord with godliness, don't brood or get upset about it. Repent, seek God in prayer to relieve you of the burden. So here's a prayer point. Spend a moment in prayer now to repent of anything you feel you need to ask God's forgiveness over, and know also that he will forgive you when you ask. So be sure to thank him for his grace and his forgiveness. In the next session, we're going to carry on from this one. We're going to continue on in this part of the Salvation Road about walking to Jesus. Now, I mentioned here several times that when we repent, we recognise the authority of God in our lives. So the next logical step in this Salvation Road pathway is to look at obedience to God. So until next time, this is John from freegiftfromgod.com podcast, and I hope that you have a blessed week, and I pray that the Lord be with you and God will bless you.